WNYC is supported by GEICO, offering car insurance as well as services for homeowners and renters insurance through the GEICO Insurance Agency. Additional information can be found at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
Hanging chads, Anita Bryant, the prosecution team that couldn't convict George Zimmerman for killing Trayvon Martin sent a young black mother to jail for 20 years for firing a warning shot after her abusive husband threatened her. There are many things that make people ask, what's wrong with Florida? As a Pulitzer Prize-winning former journalist at the Miami Herald, Dave Barry is frequently asked that question by other journalists, and it got him to wondering, is his state in fact weird? In his latest book, Best State Ever, A Florida Man Defends His Homeland, he explores why Florida is called the joke state and whether that label is fair. It's published by Putnam, and it brings Dave Barry back to our show. Welcome back.
Good to be here.
You're originally from New York. What's it like to live in a state where you can't find decent pizza or bagels?
You immediately go to the...
Yeah, the heart of the problem.
We in Florida just absolutely love it when people move down there from here and inform us over and over again, almost every day in every way, that we have terrible bagels and terrible pizza and no good Chinese food, by the way. And also, they don't root for our sports teams. And generally, they just dump all over Florida day after day, and to the point where you start to wonder what they're doing there.
Well, I wonder why somebody who knows how to make bagels doesn't just move to Florida. Is it the water that is the problem there?
Apparently. Well, don't New Yorkers absolutely revere their water? Almost.
Yeah, well, we say that the water is not only the best drinking water in the country, but I guess is the secret for making bagels. Not pizza.
Well, I really don't know why nobody in Florida is able to do that to the standards of New Yorkers. But for some reason, many, many New Yorkers still choose to move there.
BuzzFeed, we'll get to that in a moment. BuzzFeed has a list of 101 weird things about Florida. And Alternate has one offering 5 theories of why your state is so bizarre. Do you agree? Is Florida strange?
It is. Florida is very weird. Here's a statistic for you. Florida has 6% of the nation's population and produces 57% of the nation's weirdness. So without Florida, there would be a weirdness deficit in this nation.
BuzzFeed cites a story of a man who was arrested for possession of child porn, but who claimed his cat downloaded it, not him. And then there was the Florida man whose hand was bitten off by a 9-foot alligator, but he faced charges of feeding the animal.
Well, yeah, you got to be strict.
Is there another state in which sharks are killed in traffic accidents?
We had that shark was headed to New York. That was one of the rare cases of somebody going to New York from Florida.
Well, we used to have loan sharks.
But there was a shark in a tank on a truck that had an accident on Interstate 95 in North Florida, and the shark was ejected and did die. And I don't think there is any other state where a shark dies in a traffic accident.
You used to mention that I had eaten a cockroach. And there's the story of a man who died from participating in a cockroach eating contest.
This is true. This happened now in Florida, particularly South Florida. We have a lot of reptile stores. I'm up here. We have Starbucks. And down there, we have reptile stores. If you need a reptile, there you it's never more than a couple of blocks away.
I can get one.
I'm not sure, you know, why people need to go to a store to buy them, because we also have reptiles. I have them in my yard all the time. I have them in my house sometimes. But this gentleman entered a cockroach eating contest at I believe it was Fort Lauderdale Reptile Store. And you would like to think that the reason he did that was to get, you know, pay for the mortgage, pay for medicine for his children, something meaningful. He was trying to win a snake. That was the prize. And he actually didn't intend that snake. It wasn't for him. It's going to be a gift snake. And now, unfortunately, the man passed away. This should be a lesson to those listening. Don't eat cockroaches, or don't eat a lot of them. It may be in moderation. See how you react.
Or eat them cooked. Anyway, in Mexico, at least the one I ate, it had been cooked.
Did you intentionally eat a cockroach?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I ate an insect once, but it was in Japan, and they sort of tricked me into it. It was one of these places where they serve you things on a stick. And you know, they put the stick in front of you and they say something, and you eat it. And So I finally ate this one thing, and the guy and they all were kind of giggling, and then one of them said, "Cricket."
Well, people all over the world eat insects because they're a good source of protein.
You know what? Okay, let's just stop right there. I don't care if they're a good source of protein. They're insects, okay?
You say there's a scientific explanation for why there are so many stupid people in Florida.
Yes, there is. And we have to imagine a laboratory experiment here where scientists make a crate, a rectangular crate with high sides, no top, and a little corridor going off the bottom right-hand part of the crate, and they dump a lot of rats in there. And the rats, you know, all different levels of intelligence, these rats. And they all eventually venture down to explore the little corridor. The smart ones are able to figure out how to get back out, turn around. The dumb ones get stuck in the corridor. And I contend that's kind of what we have in Florida. And that's really one of the defenses that I raise of my state. Yes, we have weird and stupid people down there. But very often, those people came from somebody else's state. We are like the Ellis Island for weird, stupid people in Florida.
Third most populous state in the union.
Yeah, passed, by the way, New York a little while ago.
So what does that say about Americans if a growing number of people want to live in a place that's called the joke state?
Well, I think it shows a couple of things I want to point out. We have very low taxes in Florida, no state income tax. So it's cheaper to live there. Now, what kind of government do we get for that? We get an incompetent and corrupt government. But so do you here in New York. We're paying way less for our incompetent and corrupt government than you are for yours.
Well, we could debate that some other time, but I'm
concerned. Okay, let's do it right now.
I'm concerned about the fact that that Florida's the population's growing at the same time that Florida may be shrinking. You have all these sinkholes, and then the coastline. Is eroding.
Okay.
Even despite the fact that your governor says there's no reason for that, he doesn't see a scientific explanation.
Not in his office. Things are apparently good there. No water. If let's say that the coastline erodes another, I don't know. My house is, I know this for a fact because it's on the deed or whatever it is when you say, is 22 feet above sea level in Coral Gables, Florida. So I think we let it go another 22 feet, we're okay. Mm-hmm. Beyond that point, we need to stop it. That's my feeling about it.
My guest is Dave Barry, whose latest book is called Best State Ever. And the reason that I am taking those pauses because each one of those words has a period after it.
Well done, Lenny.
Subtitled, A Florida Man Defends His Homeland. To research the book, you went on a few road trips. The first followed Route 41 or the Tamiami.
It's Tampa, Miami.
Trail. And you were hoping to catch a sighting of the skunk ape? What's a skunk ape?
The skunk ape is a legendary, mythical, well, I think it's mythical, beast that kind of like the Yeti that people claim to have seen in the Everglades. It's like 7-8 feet tall and it stinks, which is why it's called the skunk ape. And in this little town on the Tamiami Trail, Route 41, little town called Ochapi in the middle of the Everglades, which has, I don't know, a couple dozen residents, there is the skunk ape research headquarters, which sounds kind of scientific. What it looks like is a tiki bar, and you can mainly, I think, the main research that goes on there is the sale of T-shirts that say have the skunk ape on them.
And the guy who runs it, Dave Shealy, is a former drug runner.
Well, he was convicted, as was pretty much the entire population of that portion of the Everglades, of marijuana smuggling back when that was a very profitable thing to do, early 80s. But he did his time, and now he's operating the skunk ape research headquarters. And he took me around. We didn't actually find the skunk ape, but I did get a T-shirt.
And you describe him as a gladesman.
Yeah, this is a breed of guy, and there are not that many left, but these are guys who grew up in the Everglades, and they're very comfortable out there in the wild, and they actually catch and eat frogs, things like that. They get snakes. They're just comfortable out there. They're sort of being driven out, though. Slowly but surely, the federal government wants to turn the Everglades back into its natural swamp state. And they don't want people like Dave Shealy, and they don't want the Skunk Ape Research Headquarters out there anymore. But I kind of think that's a shame, because this is sort of a part of the Florida tradition, the sketchy roadside attraction. And I visited a number of them in the course of writing the book.
It's known for its vacation destinations like Disney World, Sealand, and Universal Studios. But your trip took you to Weeki Wachee and Spongerama.
Yeah. I deliberately, I assume that almost everybody has been to Disney World or Universal.
If they've been to Florida.
If they've been to Florida.
And I've only been to South Beach, I must admit.
And okay,
I was stunned by all of the nudity there.
There's
on the
no
streets.
Nudity. Those are, yeah.
You're near right. Nudity, anyway.
No, it's it is stunning. But yeah, a lot of people, their opinion, I mean, their impression of Florida comes from going straight to the Magic Kingdom, spending all their money there and leaving. And I wanted to go to the places that kind of were the older, weirder Florida.
So tell me about Weeki Wachee. Isn't the highlight a water show where mermaids go do things like eat apples underwater?
Correct. Absolutely correct. Weeki Wachee it's a natural spring around which has been built an underwater theater. So you're looking through a plate glass window. Started by a guy named Newton Perry. Newt Perry in 1947. He was legendary for his ability to swim under. He could hold his breath for 8 minutes underwater and perfected the trick of eating an apple underwater, which is useful because after a few minutes down there, a person gets hungry. Mm-hmm. So he created this show where these women put on rubber tails and breathe through air hoses, and they swim around under there in time to the music, and they eat apples and stuff. And it was really big in the 50s and even 60s, and then along came Disney World, and that sort of wiped out of places like that. The state of Florida now runs Weeki Wachee. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there, which means my tax dollars are paying for mermaids, and I'm pretty happy about that. I'd rather pay for mermaids than Rick Scott.
So Weeki Wachee is being run by the state because the state considers it part of its heritage?
Correct. It's viewed as a historic site, and it, you know, you still go. It's the same show and everything, but it would have been underwater by now. I didn't actually mean that, but it would have figuratively would have been underwater.
In writing this book, you devised your own rating system for attractions based on the number of Mold-O-Matics. What's a Mold-O-Matic?
This is a wonderful machine that exists, as far as I can tell, only at Florida tourism sites, maybe some other states. But it's this giant thing. It looks like a jukebox. And you feed money into it. Now it's $2. It probably used to be a quarter. And it hisses and you know, emits all these groans. And it produces what looks like a blob of mucus. It's supposed to be shaped like, you know, at Weeki Wachee, it would make a mermaid. At a place called Gatorland, it would make an alligator. Thing is, it's almost always out of order. I think maybe it comes from the factory with a little handwritten sign that says
out of order.
Because I found one working one in a place called Gatorland. But anyway, I rated my attractions by how many out-of-order Mold-O-Matics I thought it was worth.
I mentioned Spongerama. That's a store in a museum that was started by Greeks who came to this country?
Yeah, it's Tarpon Springs, which is on the west coast of Florida, a little bit north of Tampa. It's the most Greek city in the United States, highest Greek percentage of Greek Americans. And it was started in the 20s, 30s by Greek fishermen from Greece who would go diving for sponges.
And are there a lot of sponges in the springs?
Yeah, I didn't even... No, this is in the Gulf of Mexico. Uh-huh. There's no... No, this sponge is a saltwater animal.
These are natural sponges. So you paid $23 for
very
one.
Very good. I did not know that a sponge... I thought a sponge was a thing you got at the supermarket, and I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a plant.
Where did you think the idea came from, Dave?
I don't know. Anyway...
Was your $23 sponge better than the kind you get from the supermarket?
Here's the thing. Yeah,
not made out of plastic.
I got the Cadillac of sponge. But when you go there, this Spongerama it's been there. It has not changed for at least 50 years. Everything, it's got this exhibit on how you get sponge, what a sponge is, how they get them. It has this movie that was made at least 50 years ago showing Greek fishermen going down. And they try to make it look dramatic, like that they're, you know, they're like, kind of like Moby Dick or something, the man against sponge. But this sponge is really, really not a fearsome opponent down there.
And then there's Casadagas.
Casadegas,
okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not a Floridian.
No.
The psychic capital of the world.
This is an amazing, creepy little town. It's north of Orlando, about an hour or so, back in the woods. And it's called the psychic capital of the world. And almost everybody who lives there is a psychic or a medium. When you drive in, you pass house after house with signs that say psychic or medium. It's like you couldn't get a plumber there probably on short notice, but you could if you needed like a 3 o'clock in the morning tarot card reading, the help would be only seconds away.
And if you want to get in touch with some one of your loved ones who's since gone on to the great beyond.
Yes, I did that. I had a reading for $60 cash where a woman hooked up this thing called a spirit box, which allegedly connected me with my parents. And it would be making sounds like that. And she'd say, "Did you hear that?" And I go, "What?" And she said, "It sounded like love you. Don't you hear love you?" And I'm going, not really.
You also visited a place called Lock and Load in Miami, the sort of thing that New Yorkers kind of consider part of the craziness of Florida. It's a shooting range that offers a machine gun experience.
There are several places in Florida where you can do this. You go into it's very well supervised, but you go in and it's kind of like a restaurant, and you pick a menu of machine guns, and then they put you in a shooting gallery with a paper target, and you shoot a machine gun.
And you shot an HK-416, the kind of gun that was used by the Navy SEAL team that killed Osama bin Laden.
Right, but instead of killing Osama bin Laden, I shot at a target.
And what was that like?
It was very, a lot of adrenaline when you walk out of that. But the thing is, the strange thing is, first of all, I was terrified. I don't own a gun, and I haven't shot a gun, I don't think, since I was a teenager. But when you finally get it all ready to go and you pull the trigger, you should get 25 rounds, and it's like, this is how long it takes. Mm-hmm. and all these like things are flying out of it, and smoke is flying out of it. So I could never be a Navy SEAL, is my point.
Although I'm very pleased that the NRA is defending my right to own one of those things.
No, you can't.
Oh, I can't?
No, you can't have a machine gun. I mean, maybe if you want one, Leonard, you could start for it. But
I could have an assault weapon.
I don't think you're allowed to have a machine gun.
Your Mold-O-Matic rating for Lock and Load?
I gave it a 6, but that was based on the adrenaline.
But the rating is 1 to 5.
That's how much adrenaline I had. I was walking out of there, it's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
We don't have time to talk about some of these retirement places, but you visit a place called The Villages that sounds like the kind of place that I might want to retire.
You would love the. Well, let me ask you this. Are you a line dancing kind of man, Leonard?
I
like to ride a golf cart to a shopping mall, have a few cocktails, and get out there and line dance. You would love The Villages.
And is this a typical retirement village?
It is not. I expected it to be kind of old people sitting around playing shuffleboard. It's boomers. Let's be honest. We're boomers, right? So we don't think of ourselves as old. And they're like done. They raised their kids. They retired. They got some money. They're going to party now. There's no feeling of shame about it up there. They just like they go for it.
Your final stop was Key West, and I think I lost track after the 25th cold and refreshing beer that you drank. But I didn't realize that Key West was home to as many chickens as people. Why aren't Ernest Hemingway's cats taking care of that?
They're there, but I think the tourists take care of the cats. And nobody messes with the chickens in Key West. They kind of run the town.
Do we know why there are so many chickens there?
Because it's Key West. There's no laws. So they try to hire.
But I thought that's where artists go during the wintertime.
Artists and a lot of drunken people.
Oh, I see.
But nobody. They hired a guy to try to collect the chickens, and nobody was on his side. Everybody was on the side of the chickens.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised that a former New Yorker is running for mayor.
No, and they haven't had the election yet. But yeah, but a lot of people are from New York originally. A lot of people in Florida are from New York. You should come live down there and have a radio show.
But then probably wouldn't wind up having Dave Barry as a guest because he'd be off in other places trying to convince people
also,
that Florida is a good place.
You would have to learn to speak Spanish also. But other than that, you'd be perfect.
Remember that Florida is the place where the Spanish conquistadors came to find the Fountain of Youth. So this is a long history of
craziness. We still have that. We call it the early bird now.
Dave Barry will be giving a talk and signing books tonight at 7 o'clock at the Barnes & Noble store on 82nd Street and Broadway. His book, Best State Ever, A Florida Man Defends His Homeland. It is published by Putnam. And as always, Dave, it's been a pleasure having you on our show.
It's fun. Thank you.